Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
I will write a new opening at some point. We watched Heretic from 2024. This is one of the movies that we missed last year. It's directed by Scott Beck and Ryan Woods. They seem to be a team of directors that's done a bunch of stuff together. They actually directed Haunt. Do you remember that movie?
I do. I liked that movie. Yeah, it was really good.
It's crazy because I don't really recognize anything else except for 65. It's weird they went from Haunt to that movie 65, which was not well received, which is why we didn't see it. But it's nice to see them back in business because Heretic, this was a pretty big release. Mm-hmm. It was really popular and really liked it. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot, yeah.
Okay. But this just hit streaming on Max, which is why we watched it, because we are both broke bitches and don't like paying to rent things. And we missed it in theaters. There was a lot coming out, I feel like, at the end of the year. I don't know what happened, if we were just busy or what was going on, because we missed a few things. But this is a movie that is very much about it's very much about theology and religious belief and faith. And it's also going to be tricky to talk about in the spoiler-free section, because I think there's a point that the trailer kind of leads up to. And after that is when the movie really takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just want to talk about everything before that point, which, if you've seen the trailer, it's the part when the girls have to choose a door, because this movie is about two Mormon missionaries. Was it Sister Barnes and Sister Paxton?
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, the actresses are both, well, they were Mormon in real life. Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did know that. That's crazy.
I think they both left the church, but it's interesting because obviously they're going to be able to provide a lot of insight in their performances. And that is one of the big things early on is like they both did really good in this movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like their chemistry was really natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could really understand like it would be very easy to create these kind of stereotypes with these two characters as these Mormon missionaries. And it's interesting because they're both very different, but they both feel like very complex characters, because Barnes is the one who they kind of set up early on that she maybe is doubting her belief in some way, but it feels a lot more complex than that. Like, it's not as simple as like girl who grew up Mormon and is now having a change of faith. It's like there's way more complexity, and she seems to have a really deep understanding of their religion, which is why there's like certain things that maybe she is conflicted about without like completely throwing the whole thing in the trash, you know? And then Paxton, I thought, was really good.
Yeah.
Because she's more of like, she's all in on the religion, but the actress is really portraying like this very Gen Z type of person. It's not like this brainwashed little Mormon girl, you know? Like, she feels like a real person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that plays into the bigger story when they go to someone's house. I guess this is a thing. I don't know that much about Mormonism.
I don't either.
I think we both had our own experiences with religion growing up, which I guess we should talk about a little bit in the context of this movie.
Yeah.
Let me get through this. I feel like I get distracted very easily.
Yeah.
But they show up at this house, which they have a list of addresses. So I guess you can like request to have people come talk to you about religion,
I guess,
which seems weird. I mean, maybe that's normal.
I don't know. I think there's definitely something there within the church. And I think even, I mean, I was Lutheran for a long time. And I feel like my pastor would make house calls and talk about stuff. I feel like that.
Well, what I was really getting at is like, it seems open to abuse. You know what I mean?
Oh, which, yeah.
Kind of in the way that it's presented in this movie.
Yeah.
You could see like how they have these certain rules about always having a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's two girls, a woman has to be present in the house. And it's interesting that they are thinking about those things.
Yeah.
The whole thing still seems weird, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But of course, they show up at this house where you have the character Mr. Reed, played by Hugh Grant. That's like one of the big things about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the selling point that it's him doing this kind of creepy ass role. And very quickly, it's like, there just seems like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Yeah, like, I immediately.
Think, yeah. Just watching his performance in the trailer, you could probably get that.
Yeah.
And he's very much like, at first, it just seems like he's really trying to mess with their beliefs, you know, and challenge them on things before kind of trapping them in the house and forcing them to choose between these two doors to leave.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it, that's where the trailer leaves off.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool because I remember seeing the trailer and it leaves you in a way that's like, this could kind of go anywhere. You know, this could go in some weird supernatural direction. It could just be a psychological thriller. Like, did you have any expectations when we started this?
I don't think so. I think I was like, if for some reason I got like Maze vibes from like the poster and like.
What is Maze, that movie?
A Maze?
Yeah. I thought you were referencing something specific.
No, like.
Or you thought they would have to go through a maze.
This I would thought be there would be some sort of maze.
You thought this would be a Cube movie, is what you're saying.
Basically.
Okay, like, that's kind interesting. I know. I think like the fact they leave it so open-ended like that, that is interesting. And I think that's what drew me to it is I really had no idea.
Okay.
So it was like, I kind of want to see where this is going to go. Because that's one of the things with horror is you never know where they're going to take it. We won't talk about that.
No.
Until spoilers. Because that's part of the excitement.
I feel like some of that is a spoiler, though.
No, I mean, that's in the trailer. It's like, it's very much this kind of like, people describe it as like a cat and mouse thing.
Yeah.
I've seen that phrase used repeatedly talking about this movie. It's a creepy setup, but it's like, I feel like the movie is doing a lot of interesting things just with the idea of, I don't want to get into that here. Let's just say that he mentions that he has done a lot of studying of theology, and that seems to be influencing where this movie is going. And I think it actually has a lot of interesting things to say about religion and theology and belief and faith and all of these things, which we'll talk about a lot more later. You were Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
I was Catholic because I'm Italian. I have no choice. For me, I just remember I did have to go to church and Sunday school. You know, my parents never seemed all that into it. I think it was like my grandparents had that very strong Catholic influence, you know?
Yeah.
I remember hating Sunday school. That's the only place I really got bullied was in Sunday school, which, what does that say?
Yeah, you seriously. Know? And I had the same experience too, so.
That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know what that's
There's
about.
There's some mean kids in church.
Yeah. And there was a period where I had to do Saturday school too, which was not like, it was, I don't think it was with the church, but there was definitely that weird vibe. You know what I mean? Like, because the church gets involved in a lot of these weird kind of after school activities, and it might not be like they're directly preaching at you, but it's just there's a vibe.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's how I felt in Saturday school. It was like, I'm not in church, but it just kind of feels like church. It's weird.
Yeah.
But you were Lutheran. Mm-hmm. I mean, that because for me, I'm just saying like it wasn't a huge part of my life. And once I was a teenager, my parents were like, look, you don't have to go if you don't want to. So I was like, cool, I'm going to stay here and play my Super Nintendo. But I have always kind of had some kind of belief, some kind of faith that's hung on inside me. I just don't like any of the trappings in religion. Like there is so much weird baggage attached to it. So I just don't like, I consider faith to be very personal.
Oh, you know? I agree. Yeah.
But you, I think you were more involved in the church.
Oh yeah. I was I was really involved. I think what attracted me to it was like the service aspect.
Yeah.
Like we did a lot of volunteering and stuff, and I had, you know, I had some friends and we wanted to hang out. So we hung out and volunteered and did things and it was fun. And I don't know. I think what I loved so much about it was, at least when I was a Lutheran, they're very accepting of LGBTQ. But then I started to realize that there were just a bunch of people who also believed in this religion that also did not believe in that. And that really started to bother me. Even though I had friends and stuff who also felt that way, I started to see the people who were coming were not interested in that. Like I would hear the comments. They have like socials after a service. So you have like donuts and talk around with everybody. And I'd hear the things people say.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not like I wasn't paying attention. I might have been a kid, but, or a young adult even. But I was still paying attention, and I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the interesting thing is I can understand. Moving my feet too much?
Yeah. You're probably listening to this right now like,
fuck you, editor. No, I think...
your water.
How do you just take my water from across the table?
It's like lit by the sunlight.
Okay. I don't want to labor on this too much because we're here to talk about a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
But I'll say it's interesting. I can understand how you would get like started on that path with the church because honestly, you kind of embody all the best aspects of like what religion should be about because you're very kind and selfless and thoughtful and everything. So I can understand why that you would become conflicted the deeper you got into the community.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because I think that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's why I don't like to have anything to do with that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's some interesting stuff. I don't want to talk about it too much here because we might start spoiling like where this movie goes. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot I want to talk about in the next section about the nature of belief and the role of religion and all that stuff. Because the movie does comment on that, and it's kind of central to what the movie does.
Yeah, I do want to come back to that though in spoilers because if I talk more, it'll start to reveal the story.
Yes. I mean, it's a fun ride. It's definitely like it has some real thriller elements to it that kind of keeps you on your toes all the time. I had a very good time with it. I don't know if I would consider it like one of the best from last year. I'm still not sure it would crack like the top 10 that we made, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was a great movie. I see why there were so many people like talking about this movie. They're like, you gotta see this.
And I think the more I think about it afterwards, I think I appreciate it a lot more too.
Oh yeah. But there's a lot of good things happening in this movie.
Yeah, and I mean like, you know, it's one of those movies where it's basically three characters who are all like playing off each other in this small space. Those movies can be really fun. Mm-hmm. I think it does that very well. I did see that in the credits, apparently it said no generative AI was used in the making of this film, which is like, it's cool to see, but it's also like, is that where we're at now? That they're going to have to start putting that in there, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I think I thought of it as more in support of artists.
Oh, yeah. You know? But I mean, like,
but I do see that.
I think as AI continues to proliferate, maybe that's going to have to be a thing that movies have to point out. Just like, no animals were harmed in the making of this. No generative AI was used.
This feels like making a movie sugar-free. It's like, I don't want any of that bullshit in my movie. You know, I just want my movie made by artists, not AI.
It's weird. I don't want to get into that shit right now. But I just thought it was interesting that was in the credits. I'm wondering how many other movies are including that now. Because it's the first time I've heard of it. It doesn't really have any crazy like triggers, I think. There's like a few, but the thing with the setup is you wonder with these two young girls trapped in a house with an older man. There's always a risk of it going like a certain way.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't go that way.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it kind of presents a similar sense of like danger, but it never, nothing like that is ever shown in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, like he has.
Well, you can't say that.
Well, I know that. It's like,
there's like, there are some implications, but nothing is shown in the movie, which I'm here for.
Yeah.
But it's, I'd recommend it. It's good.
Yeah.
Let's get to the spoilers.
I'm just thinking about how you're here for women in cages.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm here for not showing that stuff. Yeah, okay. Always here for women in cages.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Let's go ahead and go through. That took a long fucking time to record.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, in the beginning, yeah, I think the introduction to the characters is like really good. It just has them like on a park bench having a conversation, and it sells a lot about their characters. Mm. You get the idea that Barnes, she is someone who's like very accomplished. She's very much into the religion because she mentions like, I think she drops it like, yeah, I've only converted like 8 people, you know, something like that really impresses Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there does seem to be some kind of doubt inside of her, you know, that's like questioning her faith. And then Paxton, on the other hand, she's a great character because she is totally in on the religion. Like, she doesn't seem to be questioning anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the way that she's still, like, she's a young person. Yeah. You know, like, she's really good at portraying that, like, no, she is a real ordinary young girl. How old are they in this? Are they, like, college age?
I think they might be college aged. It was hard to tell. I'm not sure what, like, yeah. what the intention was. I'm not sure.
She felt like a real person.
Yeah.
Who is, like, that age, but is also, like, a fucking Mormon.
Yeah. She's into pop culture. You know, she knows what's happening.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that was great. But then, so they're doing their missionary work, going to this creepy-ass house in the middle of nowhere. And I think, like, the big standout scene up front, of course, is when they're in his living room having a conversation. This is where the trailer, like, really focuses on. Mm-hmm. It just tells you so much because this is where you see Mr. Reed. I mean, he's a fucking weirdo. From the jump, like, as soon as you see him.
Yeah.
Just something off about him.
Yeah.
It's, like, that kind of, like, way too energetic and happy. And it's maybe, like, not in his eyes. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
I don't know how to describe that shit.
Mr. Beast, but that's... I don't want to get into any of that.
It's a Mr. Beast performance. Sure. Yeah, and the way he just, like... He'll say some weird-ass shit and then just laugh afterwards to try and take the edge off. But it's, like... Yeah, he's doing a lot.
Yeah, but they're being, like, super polite.
Yeah, that was the thing early on that's, like, so painful, but you can understand, is they're trying so hard to be super polite and just roll with everything.
Yeah.
Even when he is, like, directly just, like, poking the shit out of them and trying to get, like, a response. And just the way there's so many warning signs, how, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he says his wife's in there and, oh, she's being shy. And he tries to, like, just distract them to get them to stick around and keeps talking about this blueberry pie that he just won't bring out, like, doesn't seem to exist. But even just the way that, like, when he walks away, it's like the corridors are so dark and, like, foreboding looking. Like, the house itself has this presence that's, like, really unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is where he sets up, because he starts really challenging their beliefs, and Barnes is the one who is really, like, she's kind of understanding and engaging him on this level, whereas Paxson is just, like, you know, fully being polite missionary, has, like, the canned responses to everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And leading up to them actually trying to escape, you know, it's everything from, like, when they find the doors locked and they find the candle is where the blueberry smell is coming from.
Yeah.
It's just, it's interesting the way it sets it up as, like, this trap that is just slowly closing in on them.
Yeah.
And you can see how they, that politeness, it just slowly starts to erode away, you know, as they start panicking. And it's cool. I think, like, that scene when they're in that, like, weird ass chapel he has in his house and with the two doors they have to choose from, that might be, like, my favorite scene in the whole movie. Because it's that like slow sense of danger where he's matter-of-factly just like, oh yeah, that door is not going to open. Yeah. You know, it's like not saying it in a menacing way. It's like, yeah, this is just how it is. And like, oh yeah, you can leave back there. And when they open the doors and they see it's leading into a basement, there's a version of that where it's just like, oh, is he just the fucking serial killer who is like, this is his game. It's scary. But what did you think was going to happen when they finally went through the door?
I honestly wasn't sure. I didn't know if there would be like a good versus evil type of thing. I wasn't sure, you know, like I wasn't sure if they chose the right door, maybe they get a free escape or or if there'd be like some sort of different amounting trials or something they would have to go through.
Yeah, the cube thing.
Yeah. So, you know, like my mind was just kind of like going off. I had no idea which way it was going to go.
I kind of got that idea too that because I in the moment I was like, oh, what if that like disbelief door just takes them straight outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the fact that they both chose the belief door is like what screwed them over.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not how it plays out.
No.
Because both the doors just lead into a fucking basement with no other way out, which I'll say it might have been a little disappointing for me just finding that like, oh, that's all it was. Because for me, it was like, yeah, I actually thought maybe it was like a cube type movie with like traps and shit. Maybe it would be something like supernatural, like because he talks about the one true religion.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, what is that going to mean? Is it going to be like, you know, some old god shit. Yeah. You know, is this going to turn into a Lovecraftian horror movie? So I really want to hit on a lot of the conversations that they have with Mr. Reed in the movie. Because this is what I meant when I was talking about how, like, it does a lot of interesting things with faith and theology. Because he basically just starts, like, mansplaining religion to them.
I mean, he even pulls out a Book of Mormon.
Yeah, like he's, like, totally ready.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's the way, you know, his whole thing is, after studying theology for so long, he realized that they're all, like, linked. They're all very similar. And he makes, like, this compelling argument, because I think it's that, like, intellectual, just speaking with so much confidence that you're just like, yeah, okay. Like, I see what you're saying. Because it's interesting to think about like that. I did see online that a lot of what he was saying was wrong. Like, there was actually a lot of holes, which fits, because remember Barnes, like, she does, like, challenge him at one point and says that she thinks that he's wrong about something, which doesn't even seem to really faze him.
No.
But I think it's like it's doing something interesting about, you know, having this older person who's, like, in this position of authority, who talks himself up as being, like, so intelligent. And by just speaking about these things in that, with those kind of airs, you just immediately fall into whatever he's saying.
Yeah, well, it's a certain level of confidence. And I think it really reflects a lot of real world things, where it's like somebody, you know, can be preaching something so confidently and people will just fall for it.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And I especially really liked when Barnes, like, interjected when they were talking about Judaism and Christianity,
right,
and Islam as well.
It was an interesting, like, way of showing it with putting the books on the table and the versions of, like, Monopoly next to it. And he has, like, a dig at Mormonism in the process, because he describes it as, like, the crazy version of Monopoly.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell he's, like, really trying to prod them.
Oh, yeah.
And be, like, antagonistic.
Yeah, he's definitely trying to break them from being polite, but they just keep trying to, like, people please to, like, get out of the situation, which is very relatable.
I guess especially if that's what you're being trained to do when you meet with these people. It's like I said about her canned responses earlier to everything. It just sounded so recited.
Yeah.
I do have to admit, I don't really know much about Mormonism in general.
Oh, like, I think either.
They're just seen as being, like, kind of fucking loopy, and that's kind of all I know.
Yeah, I think they portrayed it pretty well in the beginning, unfortunately, when the two groups of girls run into each other. And you can see, like, she's, like, super hopeful and, like, thinks they're so cool, and then they come up and they pull her skirt down, which is so mean.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And we shouldn't be stereotyping each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where this movie kind of lands with some of that stuff, I think it toes this line in such an interesting way. I think there is this overall message about the role of religion. I think that's, like, where this ultimately is going, because he claims that the one true religion is control. And there's definitely that thought.
Yeah.
About from the beginning of time, religion was just used as a way to control people. And it's interesting to think of in those terms when you do look at how similar all the religions are, and yet how people will fight to the fucking death over them. But it seems like, for Paxson at least, she sees religion as being, like, a form of kindness and service. Because, just to skip to the fucking ending real quick, because that's what we do all the time, it's the way that she is praying over him at the end when he's dying, and basically explains that, like, you know, you don't pray because you expect a response. You pray as an act of kindness. And I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can get behind that too.
Yeah. So it's like, it's weird, because that's the thing about faith and religion in general, is that I think there is a way to be really into it and have, like, a positive impact on yourself and the world. But it gets so muddied by all this other bullshit that people add to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that.
I don't know. I mean, it's complicated. I mean, it's, there's no getting around it. Religion is a hot topic, especially now. I feel like it's even hotter than it was. I don't know. It's just, it's hard. And I think the thing about anyone in a religion is, like, their life is complicated too. Like, there's just, so many different choices happening, so many different personal beliefs. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, well, why can't we all just be nice? And why do we got to be racist? Why do we got to be homophobic? I don't know. I don't want to get into all.
Yeah, we didn't get too deep in that.
It makes me sad.
Let's get back to the movie. We're going on a tangent. I think that's all relevant to like what the movie's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, once they are in the basement, I think I've seen people comparing it to Martyrs. Have you seen Martyrs? I can never remember.
I don't. I think we might have watched it together.
Well, I've seen people comparing it to Martyrs, and I can totally understand that without getting into Martyrs and spoiling it for the audience and you, since I don't know if you've even seen it. It seems like he is keeping these women and torturing them to death, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird because it's like he presents it as, and I think this is where I might kind of disagree with the comparison. It very much is like building up as like, oh, there's something weird going on here. He seems to be torturing these women to get some kind of deeper understanding of religion.
Mm-hmm.
But then once it's revealed that like, no, the bodies were just swapped out and he gave her a script and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, he's just the fucking like sicko serial killer. Like he doesn't really believe in anything.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the whole thing about control is that he's just using this to try and manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way of breaking that down. It's when she figures all the stuff out and when she tells him that like, oh, she tacked on this line about like, this isn't real. He suddenly goes into this fucking weird ass like Matrix explanation that like the world isn't real and she had a microchip in her arm, mm-hmm. remember? And it's just like, what are you talking? Like, how does this tie into any of the other shit? And that's when you realize he's kind of just making it up as he goes just to keep them manipulated.
Yeah.
And anytime that they felt like they had any chance of escaping, that's when he kind of resorted to violence and mm-hmm. made it clear like exactly what this shit is about, really, you know? Oh, because especially when they discover that secret door, like what were you thinking was going to be down there?
Oh, I didn't know. I think when she first looked through, I was like, oh, is she seeing like a pile of bodies or something? Or like,
oh,
know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering. I was wondering if it was going to be like a whole bunch of bodies down there.
Yeah.
It's kind of worse.
Oh, yeah. I think it's way worse somehow.
Yeah, just a bunch of fucking women in cages that have been horribly tortured.
Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned like he kept the room cold and he was like spraying them with water and shit. Like, Jesus Christ.
Like they were plants or something. I don't know. It's weird.
No, I think he was trying to make them like
I know he was trying to make them uncomfortable. It just looked like the supermarket spray.
Okay. Doesn't he have that in the beginning?
What?
When he gets to the door, doesn't he have the little, what's
a
it called?
A watering can?
Yeah, he's a watering can.
Did he?
I think so.
I don't remember. Oh, that's interesting.
Because I was thinking about that because I think I was kind of like, what is he doing? Because it was raining out. So it was like, why would you need a fucking watering can?
Yeah.
So it's nice it comes back. I guess he just finished watering his...
women?
His imprisoned women,
no,
yes.
It's not funny. It's not.
That's a cool detail. I think this is a movie that would probably benefit from watching it again.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a lot of dark humor in this.
Yeah.
And Dark Souls, too.
Yeah, I totally got that too. Yeah, you mentioned that when they first went in the basement, you see that fucking woman, that woman. You see that woman. You're like, did this just turn into a Dark Souls level?
I know.
It was totally that aesthetic, yeah. It is funny, I guess, to start wrapping this up. It was definitely a surprise when Barnes had her throat cut.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting twist in making Paxton into like the main character at that point, basically.
I thought that was like incredibly well done. Like, like seamless, like way to like move the story into like this new direction. I loved it.
Yeah. And it was cool just because Barnes, she seemed like she was evaluating the situation in this like very calculated way and trying to figure out a way for them to escape. So I think you're putting a lot of your hopes on her.
Yeah.
And then when she's gone, it's just Paxton. I still think like she could fucking bring it too.
Yeah. Amazing women.
Because she was the one who figured out the whole ruse to begin with, you know, that the bodies moved.
Oh, yeah. She like was on it.
But I think like, the biggest clue about what was exactly going on was when she found the room with the fucking caged women and it had her bike lock on the door. It's like he really planned all of this and expected her to find it. It's all part of his weird ass serial killer fantasy thing that he has going on.
Yeah, the second they walked up to the door, I mean, he was already in motion. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
It's funny, though, we talk so much about all the theological stuff in this movie. And, man, people get so deep in that shit. Like, when I was on IMDb, I was just looking at, like, the trivia. Mm-hmm. There were definitely people in there who were, like, full on, like, explaining, like, he was wrong about this and this, so he doesn't really know what he's talking. Like, really, you can see, like, imagine religious people watching this and it kind of going over their head that, like, yes, he's wrong about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people just take that stuff very seriously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I think it was really great how he's talking about all these religions and how many of these people practice and everything. And when she calls him out for the Holocaust, she's like, how do you not account for the Holocaust? Like, that's insane. And it's like, of course, like, obviously.
I forgot that was like the big thing that where she challenges him, and it really makes everything else start to kind of crumble, you know. But very good. Was definitely doing a lot of interesting stuff. It's like I said, watching it, I thought was interesting. It was very entertaining. But I think afterwards, like, the more I thought about it, it's like there are a lot of really cool ideas in this. And I think it would be worth seeing this again. Like, I think it's a good second watch.
Oh, yeah. I definitely watch this again.
But you can go to GhostBeast.com for all our links. You can also search for GhostBeast Pod. And you can follow GhostBeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover.
Do you think you would notice the difference of smell between a blueberry candle and a blueberry pie in the oven?
Probably. I feel like a candle smell is always like a little synthetic.
Because I was thinking about that and I was like, would I know? But like, they do make like really good candles now. They don't smell like anything.
They do be making good candles.
Yeah. So I feel like it could be really hard to tell. I don't know. Not to include that, but I was thinking about that.
I got it. Underneath Ghost Watch and above A Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah.
Good. Number 60 on our list. You can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com.
Like, wait, what is it? Review. Could you leave us?
What am I? I'm trying to go with the question.
Oh. Oops. Know any other maze movies?
We didn't even talk about the
VFX and like how good they were.
We're at 44 minutes. Okay. Yeah, I think we're good.
I know. The art department did so well too.
We were way too hard.
I know.
And you can follow us on TikTok for little videos. I promise we're going to start posting on YouTube soon. By the time we release this, maybe we did.
Maybe.
I don't know. We don't release these in order. Bye.